Welcome to A Sleigh Bells and Mistletoe Christmas.
Oh, Christmas isn't just a day. It's a frame of mind.
Everything from shopping to decorating to books and movies for our favorite holiday season.
We are all about Christmas cures for the COVID blues here on the podcast. It's a special series to help get ready for the holidays and get a special boost during this time. Coming up, Ricky talks to Drew Flowers about Facebook holiday fun. But first, with Christmas news, I'm Mary Richards. Lifetime and Hallmark both released their full list of Christmas movies and premiere dates. Set that DVR for your favorite actors or directors or plotline, or just watch as many as you can. Hallmark promises 40 Christmas movies starting October 24th with Jingle Bell Bride on their main channel and Christmas Tree Lane on Hallmark Movies and Mysteries. Lifetime, meanwhile, has 30 movies for the Christmas season. Those begin on October 23rd with Christmas on Ice. But the Betty White movie we expected this year on Lifetime has been delayed until 2021 because of COVID filming restrictions. Netflix will not be left behind. The Christmas Chronicles 2 trailer is now out. Looks great. Goldie Hawn plays Mrs. Claus opposite her real-life partner, Kurt Russell, as Santa. Netflix also promises a movie called Jingle Jangle with Hugh Bonneville and Keegan-Michael Key, and a sequel to The Princess Switch called Switched Again. And while many people are excited for Dolly Parton in Christmas on the Square, that date still to be determined. Christmas cards may make a big comeback this season due to COVID. People still want to connect with each other if they can't visit or do Christmas card exchanges to be part of the beauty and tradition. One writer on Pop Sugar says she wants to send friends and family something personal that she's held in her hands to let them know she's missed them, and she wants to buy more stamps to help the post office. Now, Halloween is a good time to prepare for Christmas. Some specialty stores, like Halloween Spirit, for example, I've seen a lot of Christmas costumes they're selling right now. So it could be a good time to get a Grinch suit or Nightmare Before Christmas or a candy cane suit or elf clothing. I even saw an adult Christmas tree costume, big old Christmas felt kind of green thing you can wear. We're still waiting to try the Brax turkey dinner candy corn, however. The autumn mix and the pumpkins are always tasty to me. But Ricky and I really want to try the full turkey dinner for you if we can only find it. That's Christmas news. Here's Ricky Meese.
Thank you, Mary. We're so excited to have this next guest on the Sleigh Bells and Mistletoe Christmas podcast, Drew Flowers. I am often asked, where do I find all these Christmas people and friends that I speak with here on the Sleigh Bells and Mistletoe Christmas podcast? How do you know so many of them with such a big variety of holiday interests and specialties? Well, I find them online. Most are so surprised when I say that. But Drew, you and I recently connected through a mutual Christmas site called MyMerryChristmas.com. We were there as guests for a Christmas in July online chat event, and you were there to talk about Christmas music and movies. You also assist in the administration of some big, big Facebook group pages. So let's start there. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and then tell us a little bit about these groups. Just a brief introduction, their names, and how people can find them.
Sure, yeah. Thanks for having me on. As you mentioned, yeah, Drew Flowers is my name. Moderator of a Facebook group, several Facebook groups, Christmas Movies and Music. It's always Christmas here. Christmas times are coming, and Christmas is every day. Great groups, really got involved with them early on, and you know, great friendships, great connections with a lot of Christmas enthusiasts. That's really been an expansion on my Christmas knowledge as well.
All right, so let's go a little bit deeper into these Facebook groups. Now, I want people to understand there are people who might shy away from social media, and that's understandable in this day and age, but these are Facebook groups about Christmas that really do bring joy and fun and cheer into someone's life all year long. So let's get specific. You briefly mentioned their names, but let's talk about them a little bit more and how you got involved with them. So name each one specifically on Facebook.
Well, the first one was Christmas Movies and Music. That originated as a Yahoo group. I was kind of searching around because it was a topic that not everybody can discuss year-round. Some of it just want to hear it during the November, December months. And I found a group of year-round enthusiasts that were movie enthusiasts. So I, you know, like, there are other people that enjoy this besides me year-round. And that it translated into a Facebook group that turned into a lot of almost like an entertainment tonight for Christmas movies and music, music releases, movie releases, birthdays of people who have had celebrities who've had roles in movies and music industry and Christmas. Then from that kind of went searching around. Then I found a Christmas Times a Coming, which is more of a anything, recipes, movies, music, events, not just a specific genre, anything with Christmas. Someone from that group started their own group called It's Always Christmas Here, and they asked me to become a moderator there to get that group started. Very similar topic of you name it in the Christmas genre, we'll discuss it. And then Christmas Time is Here has Christmas, but they bring in more of a religious aspect on top of the movies, music, festivities. The CR, the beginning is more capitalized with the Christ part of it. So that kind of brought in Christmas, but a religious end of it. So it gives a wide variety in all the groups of what you may like best about the holidays to talk to people that would be on the same wavelength and you could share different topics with. So that's what really makes it interesting.
Okay, so in these groups, I think people, because you've got big numbers in these groups and there's a lot of posting that goes on and it makes it fun. But I also think it's not just the Christmas spirit they find there, but I think people come there, especially during COVID, because they feel safe and they feel encouragement and they feel uplifted in a way that they kind of need right now. What do you think makes your Facebook groups so different from other Christmas pages on social media?
Christmas has really become a strong factor in the world of COVID for something people are going to a comfort zone, something people can go to say it's a place that makes me happy. When people go to these Facebook groups and they post, they're open. They almost look at it as family members. These are people from all over the U.S., all over the world, have never met each other. And yet they come on here and, you know, I'm really upset about things and people talk and they bring up Christmas. They bring up Christmas music and, you know, we'll talk about, you know, what a topic that always brings up Christmas Eve. What's your favorite thing to do? What's a tradition? Within an hour, we have over 200 responses and people are just talking about all the things they're excited about in a nostalgic factor or an upcoming factor. And it really gives them something to be happy about when there's such a lot of misery going on right now and such a lot of depression. And this is something that really leans on. And Christmas, Facebook, or even a friend of mine who has a streaming station, Sounds of the Season, and he says his numbers are skyrocketing now as people want to hear Christmas music. And it's an outlet for happiness. And people are coming to these groups because they're finding that it's really keeping them upbeat and uplifted during trying times.
Right. And I said, I think people come there because they feel safe. And what I mean by that is not just online security safe, but also with so much social unrest and divisiveness in the world right now, they come on there. They're with like-minded people. You're not going to find the outbursts and the mocking and all of the jibes that take place on other social media posts that you find on these sites. And I think that's one big appeal that a huge amount of people are looking for in this day and age. They're not going to act out on these pages the way they might on some other pages because there's something about the Christmas spirit that's soothing and calming. With the Sleigh Bells and Mistletoe Christmas podcast, we've certainly seen more people during these COVID times, like you mentioned, turn to the holiday season in many forms as an escape, a diversion, some light in a darker time. And your Facebook groups have experienced this as well. Do you think it's going to continue to grow between now and the actual holiday season?
It's really a tough call. You know, we're seeing events. There was a Christmas parade that's in North Carolina that just announced they're going to be canceling the parade. It's the first time since World War II that this parade is not running. And people who were familiar with the parade really came out and expressed a lot of, you know, displeasant and a lot of upset. Recently, Rockefeller Center announced the big radio Christmas spectacular, Radio City show. They're canceling that because of COVID. And, you know, a lot of these big events have already pulled the plug. Mickey's Christmas celebration at Walt Disney World announced we're not going to go ahead with it. So we're seeing trickles of these events, these big events that people really hold on to dearly, saying, unfortunately, we were not going to risk it. You know, and people are coming on our groups and they're saying, you know, so sad and just why, you know, really we're looking forward to these events and they're nervous about the local tree lightings or the local caroling to try to find something that would bring some happiness. And they're worried that that's not going to be there for them. And that's where we're trying so hard in our groups. I mean, we unfortunately can't bring them a live tree to light, or we can't, but we can try to do what we can in events with these people that share the same love and try to do what we can in its own right, almost like a counseling session, a therapy group to bring happiness in a Facebook group to people who are missing or concerned about these events going away. And we're doing everything we can in all of our groups to bring the Christmas cheer to them as best as possible.
Right. I should say that even though we are looking at and expect some tough times for this holiday season, I do believe the Christmas spirit and the human spirit will rise above, and we will find new ways to still enjoy the season and maybe make new traditions. Let's move on. We'll give out all the names and links on the social media sites of these pages again, but to another passion that you have, and that's holiday entertainment in the form of movies and music. Now, Sleigh Bells and Mistletoe Christmas podcast is one of the few podcasts that's not holiday film and TV oriented. And I should say, my co-host, Mary Richards, she is definitely a Hallmarkie, and so she does do a little bit of coverage, but we're just not one of those that focuses on that. We take in all things Christmas, so we cover them, but just in a different way. What got you started down this path of movies and music for Christmas?
I would say just growing up with them. Traditionally, in my household growing up, it was you watched It's a Wonderful Life on Christmas Eve. You watched a version of A Christmas Carol after that. Growing up in New York, there was a station that originated the Yule Log, and you would put that on, you know, winding down the night. And just the great animated specials that came out in the late 70s, early mid 80s, you know, flipping the TV guide and 8 p.m. CBS, Rudolph, right after that's the Charlie Brown Christmas special. Then Friday night was Garfield's Christmas and Frosty the Snowman, and these events that just were just magical moments in time that you got to sit down and watch and experience, and it gave such a great feeling. You know, I was, you know, I'm maybe the only one, or I'm sure there's others who, you know, couldn't wait to get the TV guide open, and you would almost circle the day, and that was like its own event itself. You know, you looked forward to it. It just grew and grew and grew and expanded because of my interest. And then as I found other people who had this, I was able to learn more about it and expand my knowledge. And that's where it just kind of kept going from there, because it always was a great moment in time knowing these specials and movies were on.
So are your holiday traditions today centered around some of those that you grew up with then?
I would say so. Growing up, my parents had a Perry Como cassette, and that's what we would play during the tree decorating. Christmas morning, that's the first thing that was aired if we put the Perry. So Perry Como to me is just as much Christmas as the candy canes or Santa Claus, because I grew up with his music playing for all of these big events. I have a great collection of records, and there's a record that doesn't really get much radio time. It's Christmas Day with Sammy Kay, and we would put that on, and it was a powerful music, big band, peaceful, and I would play it constantly throughout the year, and it brought such a great feeling to the house, such a nostalgic feel, and these traditions are things that I still do with my kids. And, you know, okay, we're going to decorate the tree. I'm putting on the Perry Como. Well, now it's CD. It's not the cassette anymore, but I still have the record. And and these are things I carry on. I still have It's a Wonderful Life on Christmas Eve night, and these are things that I try to bring to my kids to realize, as well as things I hope that they pass on also.
So nostalgia plays a big role for you in your heart for the holidays, and now you're bringing it to your own family and to your children. Is there this throwback that you have from yesteryear of Christmases, then from your childhood to now? Do you ever see those going out of style? And do you see a lot more people, thanks to the digital age, hopping on to this bandwagon?
I don't think the traditions will ever disband. Now, in the sense of circling the airing at 8 p.m. on CBS for Rudolph, that isn't probably as big, because you can pop it on DVD anytime you want. You can stream it anytime you want. I mean, I have streaming services that have Rudolph and all the cartoons I could click on any day of the week, any time, and watch it. So that one moment in time where it was aired, if you missed it the one airing, you were done till next year. That isn't as, I think the TV viewership is not as high, because I can watch it anytime I want in December now. I can watch it 24 hours a day if I want to have my own marathon. So that moment in time, I think, is stuck with my generation of the, hey, it's on TV tonight at 8 o'clock, isn't as big of a deal for younger generations, because they can do it anytime they want through any platform of streaming or DVD servicing. But the store, still, you go in, they have the Rudolph figures, they have the Charlie Brown figures, they have the shirts, they have, I've even seen people with the COVID having masks on with the Charlie Brown tree or the Christmas Story leg lamp, and those memories are always going to be there and they're always going to thrive. But the TV network airing, I think, may struggle a little bit because of the frequency of availability.
Okay, let's get down to business. I want you to tell me your top Christmas flicks, whether they're TV or movies, along with any tidbits as to why they're your favorites. And just give me some of your personal insights of, and I throw in movies and TV together, but you can separate them if you want to. I should also mention, for those who are not aware, there are a lot of debates about Christmas movies out there. Not so much maybe as the Christmas TV specials, but some of the Christmas movies, there's a lot going on out there that people will dive in over these details, and just, they're like a bulldog. They get a bulldog with a bone. They get onto it and they just hang on and will not let go. So give me some of your top favorites of Christmas movies and TV flicks.
Well, I kind of mentioned It's a Wonderful Life is probably my Mount Rushmore. Consider it a legendary movie, not best Christmas. I have it as the best movie ever made personally. I adore that movie heartfully. A Christmas Carol is always one. I know there's 90 different versions of it. I'm very adamant with the George C. Scott version myself. I think that was a outstanding performance on all aspects. Some of the ones that aren't as common, Twilight Zone did a special called The Night of the Meek with Art Carney. That was a Christmas episode, beautifully done, really captures the heart of the holiday. I encourage a lot of people to consider watching that if they've never seen it.
I'm going to stop you right there, because I think you need to explain who Art Carney is for some of our listeners who may not be aware.
It's a vintage flick. He's probably most known as Ralph and the Honeymooners, as the Ralph Crandon, Ed Norton. He was Ed Norton in The Honeymooners as the bumbling neighbor. That's kind of his most notorious role. He did a special with The Twilight Zone, which is just a masterpiece. I can't speak highly enough about watching A Night of the Meek. Wonderful, wonderful episode. Animation, one of my favorites, which is popular but not anymore, is actually A Garfield Christmas. I will put that up there, as I think it deserves the credit of a Rudolph and a Charlie Brown. Really captures the heartstrings. Jim Davis with Garfield's Christmas, Thanksgiving, Halloween, really knows how to capture raw emotion with Garfield and Odie, and I think that one is one that should always be watched every year. And this, I like comedies. I think the holiday, you know, needs to sit back and laugh. So I actually love A Christmas with the Cranks. You know, didn't do well in the box office, didn't do great reviews, but to me, it's a great sit down and laugh movie, which is what I think we're lacking in movies nowadays, is a good sit-back comedy to get funny with. So I have Christmas with the Cranks ranked very high. I also think The Polar Express is a great nostalgic movie, great book. I like what they did with it, and I think it really brings out that childhood curiosity nature of what makes the holidays so great. And those are some I would definitely put up on my top list.
And you covered the gamut on that. You went from extremely traditional to some eclectic stuff. But you and I throw down on one top Christmas favorite movie. And I seem to be a dying breed. You love It's a Wonderful Life. And I'm a traditionalist for White Christmas. And do you know why I picked that one?
Now, I don't disagree with you on White Christmas. I mentioned in our prior conversation that Sundance Channel does a 24-hour marathon of White Christmas on Christmas Eve. And any movie that can pull off a 24-hour marathon means it's got a great flock of fans. The music's beautiful. The backdrop is beautiful. No disrespect to White Christmas. I think it's a wonderful movie, but I just don't have it in my top tier.
But do you know why I like it compared to It's a Wonderful Life? And few people will agree with me on this, and I know that, but in It's a Wonderful Life, there are literally only a few scenes where it's actually talking about and reflecting Christmas.
More so when Clarence enters the scene is where it gets Christmassy, without a doubt. It's more about his life and what made George Bailey George Bailey. I think what stands out for me in It's a Wonderful Life is the message, is the... No matter how, especially, I mean, how ironic with what COVID is doing nowadays and people suffering from depression. Here's a guy down his luck. He's done everything he can, and he can't take it anymore. And he's seeing what life was like and how much, no matter how bad it gets, there's someone that, there is support, there's help, there's people that care. I mean, what a better message, especially with what's happening now, than what It's a Wonderful Life brings to the platform.
And that, you and I can both agree. I'm just going to ask you really quickly. There are those out there who fall into a genre of these particular movies. They're not really a Christmas movie, but they fall into a Christmas category because they've been put in there. And the one, obviously, is Die Hard. Your thoughts? Yes or no? Is it a Christmas movie?
I can't put Die Hard in the Christmas movie category. I don't see it. I don't like Die Hard much as a movie in general, so I can't rank it up there as a Christmas movie. So that one I've been asked a lot, and the Tim Burton, The Nightmare Before Christmas. Those are the two that people will debate with me. I do not put either of them as a Christmas movie. Tim Burton specifically came out and said that he read his son that story during the Halloween season and meant to be a Halloween movie. So I will always write that as an October movie, not a December movie.
There you go. Well, one that I often watch, and someone will ask me, what's a Christmas movie that's on the fringe for you? And I don't know why I like this movie so much, but it's While You Were Sleeping with Sandra Bullock and Bill Pullman. And there are a lot of Christmas scenes, but a lot of people don't count that as a Christmas movie. So that's mine for me. And I'm kind of with you on Die Hard. I'm not the only one that's given you flack on that viewing list selection, which, of course, is all in good fun. And we should tell everybody that. We're just having some fun here. But generally, we should state that there's something for everyone out there, whatever they're looking for. And what may work for one may not work for another. And that's kind of the way you see holiday viewing and music, correct?
Without a doubt, without a doubt. You know, there's movies that people consider the pinnacle movies that I'm not really fond of. I may get crucified for saying this out loud, but I'm not a big fan of the movie Elf. I don't, it's worth a watch. It had some chuckles, but I was kind of a one and done with it. Some people have that as they don't start their holiday till they watch Elf. And that's fine. What works for you, especially younger generations, really have surrounded themselves around that movie. I didn't find it as that great, but some people adore it. And that's terrific. You know, what works for you? You know, I'm a nostalgic. I like the Nat King Cole's, the Perry Como's, the Burl Ives. Some like the more modern versions of these Christmas with more recent artists, and that's terrific. You know, what makes Christmas work for you is what's great. Hallmark, as I think you alluded on earlier, has made an enormous impact on people's Christmas. To me, it's a little cookie cutter. small town girl that lives in the big city, comes back. Small towns are booming, and you know, and that's great. To me, it's a formulaic system that every movie has the same storyline. But Hallmark's definitely made it work. They could probably have a year-round channel and have 100% viewership. That's their formula, and it's working. But whatever makes you feel the Christmas spirit, whatever puts you in that mode where you're in a happy place at a good moment, go with it. You know, there's nothing that says you have to follow these rules.
That's the thing. Everyone is welcome within the Christmas community, no matter what your taste may be. Now, we've talked about the viewing side. Let's hit the music side. You've touched on some of your favorites. Sammy Kay, which is a big band type of orchestra, vintage type of thing. I really like Jackie Gleason and his Christmas music as well in that genre. You've also talked about Perry Como, Nat King Cole, very, very traditional artists. Tell me some of your top Christmas music favorites and any special reasons why these tunes made it to your top list.
Well, as mentioned earlier, Perry's there. He's there. One of my absolute favorite songs he has the word Christmas kind of dashed down. Each letter of the word Christmas represents a part of Christmas. Without a doubt, a beautiful song that I will always hold on to. One of those things that I absolutely love in Walt Disney used to make records of Christmas music, and there was a song on a record that came out in 1987 called I Wish It Could Be Christmas All Year Round. Beautiful song. I've never once heard it on the radio. We'll always play that song traditionally. Sammy Kay does a song called Christmas Child, and it's just beautiful. One of those evenings, you turn the lights off, you just plug in the Christmas tree, and that's the song on. And if you can't get goosebumps with that, I don't know what else can give you goosebumps, because it's just such raw emotion with his album. Jackie Gleason, I have his record too, does a beautiful work with the orchestra and just giving that raw feel to the sound. Percy Faith, another one that you can put on and just get a great sound. Guy Lombardo, I have a lot of his Christmas work as well. Very nostalgic, and then some people ask, well, it's all nostalgic, you know, nobody recent. Yes, there is, actually. I actually really enjoyed Josh Groban's Christmas album. I thought he did a great job with it. And what's unique about his album, if I could quickly say, is that album was the highest selling album of the year. He put it out in like October, 3 months left in the year, and made it the biggest selling album of the year for a Christmas album, just to show the desire to have that music. You know, that album made the top charts for the year in a 3 month span. So that's, again, kind of going back to, there's no right or wrong of Christmas music. Whatever inspires you, whatever gives you that feeling, go ahead and listen to it.
There you go. I'm kind of with you on that. I love a wide variety of Christmas music from, and I will say, in different genres. I mean, I've listened to rock Christmas music. I've listened to religious Christmas music. I've listened to, as you said, the big bands, all that, and the traditional ones and the new ones. I will say there are some that if I've heard them once or twice, then the rest of the album, I know what it's going to sound like. So I do get picky. One that I was really concerned about was the remake of some of Bing Crosby's classic songs. But the London Philharmonic Orchestra, I've got to give them props on that release. I think it was last year. They did an excellent job. There was only one or two compilations on there, and I will say they were collaborations, one with a very popular younger Christmas group I did not like, but it was also with a very, very strong, top-selling Christmas song, a classic, and sometimes the classics are best left alone. You know, you don't try to remake them and make them your own. You just need to leave some things as they are, because they can't be redone, and they're burned into our memories like that, but the remake with the Philharmonic Orchestra from London on Bing Crosby, they did do a good job. So I got to give them props. Okay, I'm going to address the elephant in the room. Are there any songs that you absolutely hate during the holidays, and why?
The answer is yes. I am not a fan of Mariah Carey's music.
And you know she went right back up to the top last season, right? After, what, 30 years?
All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey always makes me change the channel. It's not a song that works for me. Her stuff just doesn't gel with me. I'm sorry. I know it makes the numbers and radio stations love to play it, but it doesn't work for me. It feels forced to me. I don't feel a raw emotion with her music. If her music feels like her manager said, make Christmas music that sells, and she made an album, I don't feel the desire to really promote Christmas cheer behind it.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm going to add a few on there of my own. And yeah, haters, just calm down. Christmas Shoes. And this is coming from a radio background. You have to understand, if you've been in old school radio, you have a playlist that you have to play because those songs are in such demand. Christmas Shoes was one of those. And I just got tired of hearing it so much and so often. And it is a little bit sugary, sweet, and sappy. And I don't have a problem with that. I like the story it tells, the moral of the story, but it did get old for me. Another one for me, and this is almost sacrilege because I love this performer, Paul McCartney. I don't know how you feel about It's a Wonderful Christmas Time, Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time. I think it falls short of what he is truly capable of in his songwriting and performing abilities. And then I'm going to throw one out there. Oh, go ahead.
I'm going to say, I know we didn't agree on why Christmas is on our plate, but we are totally on board with music because I am not a Christmas Shoes fan. My wife just can't stand that song. It feels like a Hallmark movie put into a song. and I really don't like it. And I fully, fully agree with you on Wonderful Christmas. I felt like Paul McCartney had to do something that he felt like he had to compete with John Lennon's War Is Over, Merry Christmas. And that's a classic song. And Paul McCartney's like, well, I got to do one too. And came out with this sort of hokey, like, uninspiring song that just doesn't gel with what he could do as an artist.
Exactly. The other one I'm going to throw out there, which I can take them in small doses, and on some things they do and do very well, and on other things it's like, you just need to leave this alone. And that's Pentatonix. And it's no particular song, but it's their entire style. And they're out every year with a Christmas release. And I think they do appeal to a wonderful younger audience. And it is nothing about the age difference. It's just, I know exactly what I'm going to get every time I put in Pentatonix music. And I hate to feel that way because I think they're good and they're very talented. But it's like, show me something more. Give me some depth on that. But that's just me. And I know, again, like I said, I'm going to get some hate over this. So I don't know about you, but.
No. I'm on board. I think they have amazing raw talent, but it almost feels like they're trying too hard to make the song something that's not supposed to be.
Yeah.
I think that these songs, the White Christmases, the Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, these are songs that have a raw emotion. I mean, you have to almost look at where the song came from to understand where, you know, you're looking at, you know, I'll use Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. That was Judy Garland in the spirit, you know, and Meet Me in St. Louis. And she's saying this to these children who she may not see again. And it's almost like a farewell message. And it's a raw, sad moment that it's happening in. And you're not supposed to be adding these cat scat beats from jazz or anything to it because that ruins the point of the song. It's a very heartfelt message that's being said to somebody that you're supposed to be grabbing onto, and you're not supposed to be altering it with sort of a street style of music, and that's where I don't like when they do that to those songs.
I'm going to throw out a few good ones that some people, I think, are maybe a little underrated or people may not know about, and they're a little bit more modern. And I'm going to be the first to confess, even though I have some downloaded Christmas music, I prefer most of my Christmas music on CDs as hard copies. So I'm just going to throw that out there just as in forms of CDs. Look this up. Sheryl Crow has some very nice Christmas music. Also, I don't know if you're familiar with rockabilly, but if you've ever heard of the Stray Cats, Brian Setzer has a huge big band sound, and they go out touring every year. He does a wonderful variety of Christmas music, especially Mr. Grinch. So he's one definitely to check out. Another one that's a little bit underrated in the country genre is Shadaisy. They have a great Christmas CD that's available. I could go on, but I'm going to stop. But the problem is sometimes there are so many, it's hard to narrow it down. What I would suggest is if you have a favorite artist or a favorite song, go online, look it up, see what that artist does and what's available, or see who does that particular song you like and check out their version of how they do it. So let's get back to your Facebook group pages. What can they expect? What would you encourage them to do if they wanted to find you online?
You know, a lot of people join and they just want to have something to read and look at and enjoy, you know, some of the still images that we post, some of the songs that we put up, and they just want to enjoy it. Some of them want to dive right in and just participate and talk. And then some of them are a mix of column A and mix of column B, and that's great, you know, and we encourage it. You know, the group moderators want as much participation as possible. You know, the group is only as good as you let us make it. And that's why we want a lot of our groups. It's what is it you're looking to have in the group to make it something worthwhile? A lot of people don't want to just, you know, have their name out there. They just want to enjoy the visual. And that's terrific. We have some members that are always frequent contributors to comments, and hey, I'd like to post some songs too, please. You know, it's not just we're the moderators. Here's what you get, enjoy it, and it's make it your own. You know, let us know what we can do to help. The moderators are there to keep. It's almost like traffic control. You know, we're not. You know, with this day and age, we make it very clear that we don't allow political posts to come in or political viewpoints. That has no business in a Christmas group. That's where we come in. We're trying to make it a nice environment without any negativity. Some people will put up things and, you know, and they'll get, you know, strong stances on stuff that we talked about, strong stances on songs they like or don't like. It's an open environment, you know, so our job is to make it as friendly and uplifting and inspiring for you as we can. You know, our groups have great ideas going into the upcoming holiday season that we're going to be trying really hard to make it as uplifting and fun for you as humanly possible that we can in a group of our own. And that's what it is. But, you know, you can take as much from it as you want and enjoy it at what level makes you comfortable. And we encourage it as much as possible.
Okay, wonderful. Drew Flowers of many Facebook groups. Anything else you want to add before we close? And again, where can people find you online?
Pretty much go on to Facebook, look up Christmas Movies and Music. If you know that's your thing, you know, that's much more, like I said, of a Entertainment Tonight style of, you know, this day in history, happy birthday to Bing Crosby, you know, and hey, you know, breaking news, Dolly Parton has a new Christmas album coming out. Things like that, you know, it's more of the entertainment genre, which has, you know, a massive amount of fans. If you're not, you know, if you want some of that, plus you want to do recipes or Christmas shopping ideas or anything of that, it's always Christmas here. It's just that. It's always Christmas there. It's anything you could think of Christmas-wise. Christmas times are coming very similar. You know, it's your whatever you're looking for. And Christmas Time Is Here is always the same. That one, I said, has a little more of the religious aspect. Not that the other, we know nothing shunned in that aspect from any groups, but
yeah,
non-denominational.
Yeah.
You know, it's non-denominational. This one just happens to really highlight it in the imagery a little more than my other groups do, but by no means will you ever be, you know, we don't talk religion or anything like that. As long as, you know, it's an open environment, we're not looking for anybody to have, you see it this way and only this way, that can cause you to be left or dismissed from the group. It's crucial that you understand that this is an open environment for people to share their thoughts and feelings about Christmas. And nowadays, it's come almost a shoulder to cry on for a lot of people. And they say, I'm struggling and I'm coming here for some inspiration or for some guidance. And the posts get what can we do to help? What is it that, you know, tell us what's on your mind? And the people want to be supportive for what people are going through nowadays. And I want, you know, people to feel comfortable in any group that I moderate, because that's why Christmas is here, to be uplifting.
Exactly. And in my opinion, and this is just my opinion, but that is the true Christmas spirit, where we reach out to others, where we lift and help build and we give. And that's part of the whole theme of Christmas, is giving, whether it's an actual gift or giving of yourself. It's all about the Christmas spirit. Drew, I want to thank you for joining me on a Sleigh Bells and Mistletoe Christmas podcast, which I might add, if I can put in a shameless plug, you can find the Sleigh Bells and Mistletoe Christmas podcast post on these Facebook group pages that you have at times. So I want to thank you for allowing me to be there and have a presence there. Drew, thanks for joining me today and carving out a little bit of your time to be with me and chat about the Christmas spirit and all things Christmassy on Facebook that you have. You put a lot of great work into these sites, and I just want to thank you, because I've been on every single one of them and I find them very comfortable and very cheery and very uplifting. So thanks for being with us. And if I don't see you between now and the holidays, have a very merry holiday season.
Thanks for having me. I love it. Have a great day, everybody.